Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. For almost 10 years, the University of Delaware has played host to the Calidore String Quartet. In addition to a busy performing and recording schedule, the ensemble teaches the next generation of classical musicians through their work at UD. This Monday, the quartet presents a performance at UD centering on music by Mozart. And in this edition of Arts Playlist, Delaware Public Media's Martin Matheny is joined by one of the group's violinists, Ryan Meehan.
Let me start by asking you about the history of this group and some of the really amazing things that you've done.
Sure. We formed in 2010 in Los Angeles, where we were all in school at the Colburn School. And we all had this like-minded passion for playing string quartet. And we decided we wanted to take it seriously, and we did. They have lots of competitions for music. I know it seems silly, but they can be very helpful sometimes in helping to get your work out there and to share it with larger audiences. So we did 7 competitions in the first 2 years that we were playing together, and that also helped us to learn the repertoire that kind of formed the core of our identity. And getting to know each other through all of this different repertoire in such an intense way was very, very helpful for us and kind of unified our commitment to one another and what we were trying to achieve. And that helped us to start playing concerts. And one thing led to another. And we met the Emerson Quartet, the preeminent quartet of the later half of the 20th century and 21st century, and they just retired. And that meeting was very fortuitous because they taught at Stony Brook University out on Long Island, and they invited us to come there to do a special program just to study with them. So that's when we moved from Los Angeles to New York City, and then we auditioned for a program at Lincoln Center, part of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. And so that kind of anchored us then there after school in New York, and we continued to travel other places, but that formed a really important part of what we were doing artistically. And it was through all of that, actually, that we came to know the former president of the University of Delaware. And when he came from Stony Brook to Delaware, he wanted to create something similar to what was going on at Stony Brook. He saw it as a very vital part of the university's life and culture of the community. And so that was the beginning of our relationship with the University of Delaware, and that was in 2017.
Talk a little bit, if you will, about some of the repertoire on this concert. What will you be performing?
Sure. This is centered around works by Mozart, as particularly his clarinet quintet, his only clarinet quintet, and we could not have a better partner for this piece than Ricardo Morales, the principal clarinet of the Philadelphia Orchestra, truly one of the greatest clarinetists in the world. And he's a close friend of ours, and this will be our first time collaborating together, so we're very excited about this. Also on the program is one of Mozart's late quartets, also known as the Prussian quartets, and these feature really prominently the cello, which was very unique for the time. And so our cellist Estelle Choi will be playing very beautiful high melodies throughout the Mozart quartet. And in between, we have a short piece by Hugo Wolf, and this is called the Italian Serenade. It's a very exciting, slightly quirky little piece to just kind of split up the two large pieces by Mozart.
For audiences, what makes listening to live chamber music such a special experience?
Yeah, I think I can speak to what got me really passionate about it is the element of conversation that's happening on the stage. We have no conductor. We have to show and give cues and feel the music completely through our own sound and body language. And so when you watch chamber music live, it is as much a visual experience as it is auditory. You really can see how we have to live, breathe every moment of the music together so that we can continue to play together, but also to make the music in the same way so that we can create a unified message.
You talked a little bit about the communication, sort of the nonverbal communication on stage, and I'm wondering about the rehearsal room, because you've got four world-class musicians. Everybody has deeply held musical opinions. So how do you, as an ensemble, go from four interpretations into one?
Yeah, that's really the million-dollar question. It was definitely a more drawn-out process when we were younger, because really we were coming from four completely different backgrounds. Though we went to the same school and we held some similar kind of standards for ourselves because of our training there, it did take a lot of verbal mediation sometimes in order to come to a consensus. But very often, every group's a little different. I would say our group, if we hit an impasse about a musical idea, we often would say, let's just leave it for today. Let's go do other things. And we would come back the next day being much more open-minded. And usually we found some kind of middle ground between the two ideas that really spoke to all of us. And these days, I would say we can do a lot less verbal kind of breakdowns of what the issue is or why we're not agreeing. And we kind of just play it for each other. Like, I hear it this way and you hear it that way. Let's try it this way and let's try it that way. That's another kind of golden rule we have, is that anybody's idea at any time, we just try it. We don't try to shoot it down before it's even been delivered musically. And then, I mean, I can speak for myself. Sometimes I hear my own idea in reality, it sounded good in my head, but then I hear it in reality and I'm happy to say, oh, actually, I don't like it anymore. But I think the idea that we try everything makes everybody feel comfortable to share their ideas, and it results in a better product in the end.
You mentioned your work at University of Delaware and you teach there. So for people who are perhaps a little bit worried about the future sustainability of art music, tell me what your teaching work is telling you about the next generation of classical musicians.
Yeah, we always hear this thing, classical music is dying. I've been hearing it since I was a kid. And it's remarkable to me that just every generation, one after another, there are just thousands of young people who are just completely in love with the art form. And they want to go to school and dedicate their whole lives to practicing 5 or 6 hours a day their instrument to create music with other people. And that is completely inspiring. And what I see at Delaware is no exception. We have such a wonderful school of music. We have award-winning vocal department and chamber music department and just so many great things going on and across all of the different instrument groups. We work specifically with the graduate string quartet in residence. So they are a group that we recruit every 2 years. This particular group this year is called the Prometheus Quartet. They graduated with their master's degree already as a quartet from the Juilliard School. And they're in their end of their first year studying with us. And we give them very intensive weekly coachings. We also mentor them individually on their instruments, so violin lessons, viola lessons, cello lessons. And they're a remarkable group, and they work with such dedication and such passion for the music that it is inspiring for us as the teachers, reminding us why we do what we're doing. Just the kind of tireless commitment that they bring. And I am confident that this will continue on to eternity, that people will find this music speaks to their innermost feelings, the things that they have trouble maybe sometimes verbalizing what it is, and the music seems to say it. And this act of discovery will continue on and on and on for generations.
Last month, you released a new record, American yeah. Tapestry, works by Samuel Barber, Wynton Marsalis, John Williams. Tell me the works that you're playing and also how you chose this particular lineup of music.
I think the idea began in two ways. We were very passionate about the music of Eric Wolfgang Korngold and how for so many years and decades, his music was kind of avoided on the concert stage. And of course, his violin concerto is very famous now, but so much of his other work is underplayed. and that there was the sentiment that a movie composer cannot be a classical composer. But in fact, he was a classical composer first and was very celebrated as a child prodigy in his time in Vienna. But then he came to America and he came to Los Angeles, and that was another reason, the connection to LA that got us thinking. And he won many Academy Awards and basically became John Williams before John Williams. And we had the occasion to meet John Williams. And we were playing in a ceremony of remembrance for his friend Andre Previn. And he spoke at this event, and we met him, and then we asked him if he might write something for us. And he presented us with an arrangement of a work from his movie Lincoln. The piece is called With Malice Towards None. And with these two kind of pieces, the third quartet of Korngold and this in our repertoire, as well as on a very separate note, we were introduced to this work by Wynton Marsalis at the Octoroon Balls, his first string quartet. Of course, we're huge fans of him in general as a musician, but didn't know that he had written a string quartet, and we heard it, and we fell in love with it, and we played it a lot. And we started to think about all these three pieces well, and also the 250th anniversary of America's coming up, so we decided to do an American album. Of course, you can't have an American album without considering Samuel Barber and his incredible Adagio for Strings, which is actually part of his first string quartet. We often hear the orchestra version, but this is the original version. And so piece by piece, the program kind of came together, and we named it American Tapestry because it really was like something that we wove together from different strings. And I think it's an exploration of the diverse origins of American classical music culture, and also exploring, you know, what is the sound of America. A lot of people comment within classical music, you know, oh, you have a, they say to us very often, oh, it sounds like you're American. Well, we always wonder, like, what does that mean? Where does it come from? And so I think these pieces helped us explore the various facets of an American sound.
Thanks to Calidore String Quartet violinist Ryan Meehan for joining our Martin Matheny on this edition of Arts Playlist. The Calidore String Quartet performs at UD this Monday at 5:30. And for more of Martin Matheny's interview with Meehan, including what it's like to play on a near-mythical Stradivarius violin and how he handles frustration in the practice room, listen to the full-length interview at DelawarePublic.org.